I have the happy privilege to bring along one of America's top talk show hosts, Mr. Tom Joyner. He stands up for liberty and freedom, and he's hoping, like I'm hoping, that we can wake the American people up. And it's a tough thing to do, but Tom Joyner can do it if anyone can.
Carl, we're going to have a double dose of my commentaries this week. We'll have another one on the 25th. That's the day before Thanksgiving, on Wednesday at 3:15. So I hope everybody will be listening to that. You heard the news just a few minutes ago. 238 tanker trucks were bombed by the United States in Syria. But Obama gave the drivers of those trucks 45 minutes to get out and run away. Then we bombed the trucks. That much was good. But the drivers are free to drive again. Now, I hope today to explain in easy-to-understand terms the dangers we face from terrorists and from a president, Barack Obama, who will not allow himself to mention Islamic extremism, nor take the steps necessary to wipe them from the face of the earth. Our former CIA director, John Brennan, has admitted that ISIS was decimated under George Bush, but was allowed to regroup under Obama and has grown as much as 4,400%. Now that puts us all at risk each time Obama opens his mouth to say how he's going to stop these terrorists. Islamic jihadists shove his foot back into his mouth. He said they were a JV team, and they immediately struck to show him they were the varsity. Obama said that ISIS had been contained, that they were not advancing. And just hours later, they advanced on Paris, killing 129 innocent people and maiming hundreds of others. The truth is, there have been 41 attacks on Western targets this year alone, dramatically up from last year. They are advancing, and they are not contained. Then on Wednesday of last week, Obama chided Republicans by suggesting that they must fear 3-year-old children, orphans, and widows. Now let's examine the truth here a second. Children as young as 5 are being trained as terrorists in these terror groups. 3-year-olds become 5-year-olds very quickly. Orphans are not exempt from terrorist ranks either, and there are orphans among them. Now, as to fearing widows, single or married women for that matter, a female suicide bomber blew herself up among innocent people in St. Denis, France, within hours of Obama's ridiculous statement. She was not the first, nor will she be the last. There have been female terrorist suicide attackers for decades, single women, married women, and yes, Mr. Obama, widows. They were dispatched by secular leftist organizations in the 1980s in Lebanon. The Kurdish PKK and the Tamil LTTE in Sri Lanka in the 1990s. A Tamil female suicide bomber assassinated the Indian Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi in 1991. The Guardian points out that in 2000, Chechen troops began launching suicide attacks by women, so-called black widows, as many of them were wives of men who had died in the conflict with Russian forces. Those attacks continue today. Between 2002 and 2005, women also took part in a wave of suicide attacks launched by Palestinian militant groups against Israelis. In 2005, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the Jordanian former street thug, turned militant, led the al-Qaeda affiliate in Iraq, and sent 4 suicide bombers. One of them was a woman. They attacked weddings and luxury hotels in Amman, the Jordanian capital. The attacks killed 60 people. That same year, the first known European woman, a Belgian married to an Algerian-born Islamist, died in a bombing targeted at a U.S. convoy in Iraq. The most extensive use of female attackers has been the Nigerian-based group Boko Haram, the leader of which was sworn allegiance just this year to ISIS. Just over 2 months ago, 4 female suicide bombers killed dozens of people at mosques in northeast Nigeria. Dozens of women have been used as bombers by Boko Haram over the past 9 months. Some were children, as young as 10 years old. The advantage of using suicide bombers who are female for a terrorist organization is that they can avoid suspicion more easily. All of this is apparently beyond the grasp of Barack Obama. Afraid of women and children refugees? If not, you should be. There is no way to verify who these refugees from Syria are. There are no records. Many carry false passports. At least two of the Syrian refugees we now know had false passports, and they were among the cowardly attackers in Paris. It only takes one person to set off a bomb. While no one believes that all of the Syrian refugees are terrorists, there's no doubt that some are terrorists. We play Russian roulette by bringing them here without a record of their past. Obama had a court seal the records of his past, and yet useful idiots elected the man. Do we make that same mistake again with Syrian refugees? Will we not learn before the attack comes to America? While Obama assures us that these refugees will be fully vetted before coming here, he knows full well that that is impossible. Now, Mexico has announced it will welcome Syrian refugees. Does anybody think that they are going to stay in Mexico? Even Mexicans are fleeing the place run by drug lords. Once any of our states take in these refugees, they cannot be vetted, and they are free to roam around the country. Remember the Texas shooter, Major Nadal? He was supposedly fully vetted before killing our soldiers at Fort Hood. This year, multiple terrorism charges were brought against immigrants and refugees across the country who had at one point made it through the government's vetting to become U.S. citizens, legal residents, or attain refugee status. Obama knows only too well how easy it is to conceal one's past. His is sealed away. Top national security officials within the Obama administration, including the chief of the FBI, have repeatedly warned us that the United States does not have the resources and dramatically lacks the information needed to fully vet refugees from Syria. From 2014 to 2015, federal authorities charged 58 people, mostly immigrants who became U.S. citizens in their early 20s, for alleged support or ties to the Islamic State. Think about this. Arab states will not allow these Syrian refugees to come into their countries. None of them. Why? These are Islamists who could be invited into these Islamic countries, but those countries will not accept the danger of allowing in people who they know nothing about. Not even fellow Muslims. Now that should tell us all we need to know. In Saudi Arabia, they have 100,000 air-conditioned tents sitting idle. Remember that for centuries, Arabs have lived in tents. These are not primitive conditions, but luxury housing. And yet, the Saudis have no interest in taking in Syrian refugees. They know that there are extremists among them. Still, Barack Obama and a majority of the Democrat Party call for a new influx of Syrian refugees into America. We actually pay these people to come here, the good ones and the bad ones. Currently, 70,000 refugees from around the world are allowed to come to the United States. The U.S. will accept 85,000 people in 2016 and 100,000 in 2017. Syrian refugees will account for much of the increase. Upon arrival in the United States, each refugee is eligible for a $1,975 arrival placement grant. Low-income refugee families, and aren't they all, with children, may be eligible for temporary assistance for needy families for up to 5 years. Refugees without children, or otherwise not eligible for the temporary assistance program for refugees, nevertheless do qualify for the Refugee Cash Assistance Program, run by the Federal Office of Refugee Resettlement. That lasts for 8 months. There's more. Elderly, blind, or disabled refugees are eligible for cash assistance through the Supplemental Security Income Program for up to 9 years. Refugees must register with the Social Security Administration after arrival and are almost immediately eligible for a work permit. Social services, including job placement programs, are also available to refugees for up to 5 years. Do you know any American citizens who are without a job? How about the military veterans who struggle to get into the job market to support their families? They're coming up empty. Between illegal aliens streaming across the southern border and refugees willing to work for cheap wages, the pinch is on our working middle class and poor people. Still, Obama calls for more. The Blaze reports 10 major terrorism cases brought against refugees and legal immigrants in 2015, almost one a month. Carefully listen. Abdurrahman Shak Mohammed, a Syrian immigrant who became a U.S. citizen, was charged with planning to go to a Texas military base and kill American soldiers, execution style, or to commit a crime at a prison. He reportedly trained with a terrorist group in Syria. A cleric in Syria told Mohammed he should return to the United States and carry out an act of terrorism, according to the indictment, and that's what he did. Two Pakistani immigrants who received U.S. citizenship were sentenced to decades-long prison sentences for plotting to detonate a bomb in New York. They pleaded guilty in March. They were sentenced in June. A Kuwaiti immigrant, brought here by his family at a young age who became a citizen, Mohammed Youssef Abdulaziz, carried out an attack this summer at a military recruitment center that killed 4 military personnel in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He is believed to have traveled to the Middle East in recent years, in and out, nobody catching him. In June, Ali Shukri Amin, a Sudanese immigrant who became a U.S. citizen, pleaded guilty to providing material support for the Islamic State. Recruited online, Amin, who lives in Manassas, Virginia, was a high school student who ran a pro-Islamic Twitter account. A Bosnian refugee couple was charged with donating money, supplies, and smuggled arms to terrorist organizations in Syria and Iraq. They were among 6 Bosnian immigrants living in Missouri, Illinois, and New York, who were charged with conspiracy to provide material support to terrorist organizations, including the Islamic State. In a case of 3 men prosecutors say were plotting to help the Islamic State, a Kazakhstan immigrant with lawful permanent resident status, his name was Aghur Saad Metav, allegedly planned to buy a machine gun to shoot FBI and other law enforcement agencies if he was prevented from traveling to Syria to join the Islamic State. Remember, we're talking about terrorist events just this year. A Saudi Arabian immigrant with U.S. citizenship allegedly swore allegiance to the Islamic State and planned to explode a propane tank bomb in America. In a sting operation, officers found 3 gas tanks, a pressure cooker, fertilizer, handwritten notes on recipes for bomb-making, and jihadist literature. A woman, Asia Siddiqui, was born in Saudi Arabia but had U.S. citizenship. She has a close relationship with Samir Khan, an American who actually became an al-Qaeda leader in Yemen. In April 2015, a Moroccan national who had come to the United States on a student visa that expired and he did not leave the country, was charged in Bridgeport, Connecticut, with plotting to blow up buildings at an unnamed university outside the state and a federal courthouse in Connecticut. These incidents are but a few. I guarantee that you've not heard about many of those cases, as a liberal mainstream media refuses to highlight them. As you're putting your children on the school bus in the morning or fixing breakfast or driving to work, there are forces at work right here in America plotting to kill you and those you hold dear. Think about it. You're sitting in a restaurant or in a mall when Islamic extremists open fire or set off a bomb. Think about any large gathering you might attend where Islamic jihadists have planted bombs or commit suicide by blowing themselves up among those gathered. This is not just a possibility, my friends, but a probability if we do not eradicate the entire movement. We can no longer concern ourselves with collateral damage. Islamic jihadists are at war with us and the Western world. They show no mercy, and we must show no mercy to them. War is not pretty, but neither is the sight of people being beheaded or locked into a cage and set on fire, children being crucified because they're Christians. These Islamic jihadists are evil savages. They will kill us if we do not kill them. We cannot continue to accept refugees or immigrants from abroad until we have a real system of vetting them, something more reliable than in the past. I find it obnoxious when liberals among us try to compare the immigrants and refugees today to our ancestors of long ago. Legal immigrants have contributed to our success as a country. Illegal immigrants have broken our laws. When our ancestors came here, it was because of their desire to assimilate into our population, to be a proud American, and to stand up for their country, America. They received no payments or benefits, just the right to be free to build a better life for themselves. That was all they asked. They did not demand that America be changed to reflect some other country. They did not march and protest under another country's flag. Many came through Ellis Island and other points where they were screened, checked for diseases, and asked about the skills they had to contribute to America. Contrast that to today, when illegals come across our southern border in droves, fully expecting money and benefits from our taxpayers, which they do receive. A great many, especially Islamists, demand that we change our country to better suit them. Some Syrian refugees in Europe are already threatening to go back home unless they're given more benefits. Adios. Why did these healthy males not stay and fight for their country? Americans must become better informed. We can no longer sit and hope that things will get better. They won't get better. It's almost a headache to listen to what's happening in our country and in our world, but unless you know the facts, you are of no help, and we must all help in our country if it's to be saved. What can I do, you might say? Well, I first traveled to Israel in 1979 and saw how the average person on the street had learned to keep their eyes open, be aware of packages left unattended, a seemingly innocent lid to a trash can that was half closed. Watch for anything unusual and report it to the authorities. I've been back to the Holy Land many times since, and this has never changed. We can do it here. First and foremost, pay attention. Make an effort to be informed. Watch what's around you. It affects the way we vote and the course of our country. Some among us, good people all, just listen to the news. Never. They don't read the front part of the paper, settling for the sports and the comic sections and occasionally the obits. And they leave the room when bad news is on display. Some have their children totally avoid news or events going on instead of sitting them down and explaining patiently and in plain English what the news means. Our children are growing up unaware, while the children of our enemies not only are made aware, but are armed and trained as early as 5 years old to kill us. Anybody else see a problem with that scenario? If you were offered 100,000 M&Ms with only 10 of them poisonous, would you put any of them in your mouth? That's what we face today with this refugee crisis. Only one or two Islamic extremists out of 100 can set off the bombs and kill Americans. Why take that chance? Liberals say we are a welcoming country, and we should embrace illegals and refugees. But think about it. Do you open your door at home to strangers? If not, why not? Well, the obvious answer is that it's dangerous. You don't know anything about the person at your door, just as we know nothing about Syrian refugees knocking on our door, except that illegal passports are being found on some of them, and they wish us harm. Now, we've been lucky thus far by stopping plots before they can be carried out, but it's sheer luck. Just in the last few days, some 10 so-called Syrian refugees have been caught in two American cities. Very easy to get a phony Syrian passport, or passports that are phony from other countries where radical Islamist jihadists have clustered. With those phony passports, they can get into the United States. We catch some. We cannot catch them all. I want everybody, especially those who voted for Obama and who still endorse the radical Democrat Party, to remember those actions when, not if, America is hit by these so-called refugees. If it doesn't come, thank God. But if it does, and I believe it will, blame yourself. Obama, Biden, Hillary Clinton, and Democrats willing to risk our lives to develop votes and power for their party. America must lead today, but we have a man in the presidency who hates any part of America that he cannot change to his personal philosophy. He cannot, and he has not led the country. He has shown his favoritism toward Islam and has said publicly that America is no longer a Christian country. Thanks to his actions, that's closer to the truth today. Here are a few quotes from Obama about Islam and Mohammed. He said, "The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam." He said, "The sweetest sound I know is the Muslim call to prayer." Obama said, "We will convey our deep appreciation for the Islamic faith, which has done so much over the centuries to shape the world." He also said, "As a student of history, I also know civilization's debt to Islam." He further said, "Islam has a proud tradition of tolerance." Now, I'll pause here for most of us to find a barf bag. Obama said, "I made it clear that America is not and never will be at war with Islam." Well, folks, they're at war with us. There are more self-serving statements from Obama about Islam. He said that Ramadan is a celebration of a faith known for great diversity and racial equality. That is, if and only if you're a Muslim. Women in Islam are treated like cattle. Obama has said Islam is not part of the problem in combating violent extremism. It's an important part of promoting peace. Tell that to the 129 dead Parisians and the hundreds wounded by Islamic extremists shouting, "Allahu Akbar." Obama has said that in ancient times and in our times, Muslim communities have been at the forefront of innovation and education. I ask you again, what has Islam innovated in the past 500 years? Nothing. As for education, women and girls are not allowed to become educated at all. It's a ridiculous statement made by a prime apologist for the atrocities committed by violent Islamic extremists. He will hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil about Islam, extreme or otherwise. Even as we hear daily reports of Islamic jihadist violence in Europe, soon to come here, as they've promised, if we open the door to strangers and invite our own doom. There's much, much more that I had and can say today, but I've said enough, I think, to get you, I hope, to think, to be observant, to watch what's happening around you, to demand that the door to our homes not be opened by a man who believes that Islam, extreme or otherwise, is best for the country. And I leave you with this. Remember, we'll have a double dose. I want to talk about the infantile goings-on our college campuses, and I'll do that Wednesday at 3:15. Carl?
Yes, sir. Now, you stand by, because I've got a wants to ask a final question. The Honorable John Book, and I was listening to Rush Limbaugh the other day. He sounds to me exactly, almost exactly like Rush Limbaugh. I'm going to give you the famous John Book now, and he's going to ask my final question for today. John, say hello to Tom Joyner.
Tom, you've been on my program down in Florida before.
Yes, John.
And I hope to have you back on. This very subject is tremendous. My question to you would be that the new Speaker of the House is promenading around as if he has come up with a magic bullet dealing with this controversial issue. I personally don't believe it. But I'd like to get your personal analysis of this new Speaker of the House. Has he opened Pandora's box, or do we really have a rock-solid solution, or do we have simply the problem of the weasel being in charge of the security, the chicken hatchery?
I believe we're floundering, John, and there are things about this new speaker that I do like, but there are also things that trouble me. And one of those things is the way he tends to be leaning. I don't think it's healthy for the country. I'm concerned because, you know, we had nobody else that wanted to take that position that had any bona fides. And so we've placed it all in his hands. I am concerned about it, and I guess time will tell us whether we've got a weasel in the woodpile or a true patriot who's going to lead us forward.
Well, I tell you what, I'd like for you, when you come off of this program, to go to Lamentations, the fifth chapter, and God deals with a nation that has forgotten him as we are forgetting him, and he announces the various plagues that will come to them. One is that strangers will land, take over their property, take over their houses, and Syria and Egypt would be their major enemies, and their children would be fatherless, and the women would be as widows. And of course, with our poverty program paying women to have children out of wedlock and refusing to pay them if the husband is in the house, according to Lyndon Johnson's war on poverty, that is exactly what we have today in a disproportionate number of murder in the concrete canyons of our major cities, which is black-on-black crime to a large degree.
I have read that, and I will refresh and reread it. The evidence is all around us. Even those who are legally blind can see what's happening to us. The question is, what do we do about it? And we're so divided on that. And one of the things I'm going to talk about on Wednesday is how divided we are, and this business that's going on in campuses. If you look at that and put it together with the race relations, which are the worst it's ever been in this country, and a myriad of other problems that we face today, and then couple that with the onslaught from Islamic terrorism, it's a wonder our ship of state has not already sunk.
That's true. This Thanksgiving, we cannot help but think of Captain John Smith, the Mayflower that landed at Plymouth Rock. But there was the Mayflower Compact that said, of God, to establish the Christian faith, not the Mohammed faith, not the Hindu, the Hoodoo, or the How Do You Do faith, but the Christian faith. And the Supreme Court, with the Holy Trinity case and one argued by Daniel Webster, said this is a Christian nation and that Christianity is a common law of the land, and we need to get back to those principles. The secret of our success has become a secret because it's under a garbage pile of political correctness.
Bernie Sanders and his socialist concept. Democrats should insist that Bernie look back and read history. You know, they first came here, and the whole idea was everybody just contribute all into one big pile here. Work hard, contribute, and then we'll just take it out in equal shares. That's socialism. It didn't work, and it's obvious why it wouldn't work. Some people, as we have today, sit on their keisters and wait for the harvest to come in. Others go out and bring in the harvest. Those bringing in the harvest eventually tire of those who are just sitting around waiting for the harvest to magically appear. And that is socialism. And Hillary Clinton is also tied into socialism. She, in the early days when she was at Yale, was back and forth with Saul Alinsky. And for those who don't know, Saul Alinsky was a committed communist and committed to the downfall of this country. So the evidence is around us. We just have to watch it.
You know, Frank Nitti, the Chicago number two man under Al Capone, taught Saul Alinsky out of Chicago. seems to be a carbuncle, still chaos and confusion. But, you know, if you go to Proverbs, the first chapter, Solomon warns, have one purse. He says, don't walk with them. And it's not a matter of taking care of the needy, but being forced to take care of the greedy. There's a difference between those who have not and cannot, and those who have not because they will not. You know, Paul said what Captain John Smith said, if a man won't work, neither should he eat.
I totally agree with that. And if you look at a great many Americans today, if not the majority of Americans today, we're eating too much, we're working too little.
Socialism works until the people run out of money.
That's it.
And we're running out of it.
Amen. Wonderful, wonderful statement. Thank you, John. Thank you, Tom, for a great broadcast today. And we'll see you again on Wednesday.
Thank you, Carl, and God bless America.